Are you someone who loves Christmas to the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it's now January 15th? If you answered yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I. And this show is for you.
Hi, I'm Dot Cannon, also known as Noella Noelophile.
And welcome to my Noelophile podcast. On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general and California Christmas in particular.
It was about sharing. Sharing the knowledge that we have. For instance, the ceramic artist who imprints the clay with lace and doilies. We're teaching a lot on Zoom, still teaching in person as well. And yeah, it's about sharing and passing that on to our younger generations in particular.
Needlework artist Lucy Barter has a mission to preserve the art of needlework while offering contemporary and creative ways to bring this worldwide tradition into the 21st century. As co-founder of the San Francisco School of Needlework and Design, Lucy offers all kinds of special events and opportunities, showcasing needlework techniques from all over the world, both in person and online. Lucy's background as an artist is an exciting one. She trained as an apprentice at England's Royal School of Needlework, and she ran their classes in the U.S. for 8 years after graduating. And she would like to invite you to a special event premiering at San Francisco School of Needlework and Design. On Saturday, December 3rd, they're going to be hosting their first annual Fantastic Fiber Fair. Lucy, how did you first realize, as an artist, that needlework and textiles were the media in which you really wanted to work?
Yes, from a very young age, I really enjoyed textiles. I was always very artistic at school. I struggled with dyslexia when in school, so I favored the arts. And I did a lot of painting and drawing. And when I went off to art school, which was a year foundation course that needed to be done before university, I discovered textiles in a big way. And that's where I kind of really started to get into embroidery.
I haven't talked to that many people. In fact, you were the first guest I've ever had who went to the Royal Academy of Needlework and taught there. What was your experience like?
Well, at the Royal School, it was such a fantastic opportunity to be accepted onto the course. And I did the 3-year apprenticeship program I started in 2003. And it was a 3-year course, very committed to embroidery from 9 to 5 daily. And then there were many other projects and things we had to do in time around the teaching time. And so it was a wonderful experience. The course was based at Hampton Court Palace. The course no longer exists now. They have other things in place, but still at Hampton Court. And it's such a wonderful experience to walk up that driveway and enter the palace and spend all day there. And so I was very privileged.
I'm getting chills just thinking about that. What's one of your all-time favorite stories to share from that time? What do you remember very best?
Oh my goodness. Well, there's so many. I could tell you stories about the people I was with who were wonderful, the teachers, the experiences at the palace. And just this past while, we've obviously experienced quite a big and meaningful loss in the UK. And I was invited to the Queen's 80th birthday party. And as were many of the palace staff, we were considered palace staff to be invited. And I have the invitation right in front of me, just clearing through some of my things. And so that was a wonderful experience. I got to take one of my sisters with me, and we got to see all the royal family there in their splendor. But yes, there were just many, many wonderful experiences there. And, you know, not to mention, of course, the time stitching. I really enjoyed that sit down and that kind of quiet contemplation as I stitched all day long.
I'm going to brag on you a little bit. I saw in your materials that not only did you do a cloth for Canterbury Cathedral, but you also worked on an album cover for Sir Paul McCartney.
Yes. Well, we, as apprentices, we spent the 3rd year down in, when I was there, it started out as the workroom. As when I graduated, it then became known as the studio. A little more modern sounding. And so as apprentices, many of the jobs we worked on were training jobs, and we got to work on many things. So I did work on the gold center part of the Canterbury Cathedral altar cloth, which was beautifully designed by Jenny Aidan Christie. And I also got to work on the monogram for the Latin album cover for Sir Paul McCartney. It was a group effort. Jenny Aiden, Christy worked on it, and I was picked to do some of the satin stitching on top. So that was a wonderful opportunity as well.
You have a wonderful opportunity for artists in San Francisco and all over the world. Would you tell me the story, please, of starting the San Francisco School of Needlework and Design?
Yes. Well, you know, I was, when I graduated from the Royal School, I came out back to America. I'd been working out here previously, and I came out here. It was my husband and I joke about it being neutral ground. He's from Ireland and I'm from England. So we set up home here. And I started teaching for the Royal School, running their courses out in the Bay Area. And on that course, I met my partner, Elise Sperber. And so sharing the dreams and thoughts that I was having with Elise, and we had the same aspirations, we started the San Francisco School of Needlework in 2015, all the paperwork and the hard work behind the scenes, and opened our doors in June of 2016. So we're not long out there, but we are happily thriving, which is wonderful.
6 years and surviving a pandemic.
Yes.
That's amazing. And we should emphasize that while you do teach classes, while you do sell kits, this is a nonprofit. This is not about selling anything.
Right. Well, it's a nonprofit. It's certainly, and from both of our point of views, it was about sharing and sharing the knowledge that we have and others, bringing them in as well. We currently have a lot of guest artists who are working on webinars for us or who are coming in and teaching. And we're teaching a lot on Zoom, still teaching in person as well, coming back to that. And yeah, it's about sharing and passing that on to our younger generations in particular. We really want to focus on the youth of our community, and also in a global way as well. We're really kind of reaching out to a very global audience currently.
With that in mind, what are some of the more unusual aspects of needlework that some of your teachers will be exploring? Let's say maybe somebody wants to give a course as a Christmas gift, and they're going to want that to be in 2023. What might be some of the more unusual ways of appeal?
Yeah, we are very much about, you know, when we set up the school, there was a lot kind of focused on tradition. And today, with our younger demographic that we're coming through, there's a lot of exploration happening. And that's something that we really do encourage. We have a wonderful artist coming in from Australia who's teaching three-dimensional embroidery. So taking those basic stitches, but working and creating sculptures that you could easily display in your home. And also far more in consideration of wearable and usable works as well. So not just another beautiful picture that's framed and displayed on the wall, but things that have a function.
Let's give the link where people can find out more about the artists who are going to be doing webinars.
Yeah, so everything is linked to our website, and that's at sfsnad.org. So you can find everything there.
sfsnad.org is in San Francisco School of Needlework and Design.
San Francisco School of Needlework and Design, yes. So
now you're also doing something special at the school on the 3rd of December. If you took me there in your imagination right now, it was December 3rd, what would we experience?
Yes, well, we have the fantastic Fiber Fair. And I'm going to kind of give a little backstory to this, because growing up in England, some of my favorite memories would be going to this big old empty derelict church that was in the town center of the town that I grew up in. And it wasn't being used as a church anymore. They used it as a venue to hold fairs and craft stalls and all sorts of things like that, which really kind of got my juices going as a young child and then into teens. And I started developing and creating my own things to sell. And so this collection of people and local artists coming to us in December is going to be a fair all about fiber in different ways, because we have, for instance, a ceramic artist who imprints the clay with lace and doilies and all sorts of, makes wonderful bowls. We have artists who are very traditional in their approach of textile art. We have a photographer who's got wonderful imagery which can be used and illustrated in stitch. We've got many antique dealers coming, so we have vintage fibers, kits, linens, all sorts of wonderful things like that, including some vintage fashions and accessories as well.
Ooh, anybody listening is going, where, when, what are the hours?
Yes.
On the 3rd?
So it's on Saturday 3rd of December from 11 till 4 p.m. and it will be hosted at the school, which is at 850 Battery Street, and we're on the second floor. So it will be well attended, I am sure, as there's just going to be so many wonderful things to dig and browse through.
I'll be looking for the link on that. Will you be live streaming or anything for those of us that can't get up to San Francisco?
There's a good idea. So we will put that to the team and tease everybody for the, you know, we hopefully this becomes something that's a regular event. So we're very hopeful that it will go well. We have sold all our pitches, so we are expecting a good attendance.
I really hope that I get to come up there in future years.
That'd be wonderful.
As an artist yourself, you encourage people to think outside the box and experiment. What's one of the most fun experiences you've had, let's say within the last 6 months or so, creating something of your own as an artist?
Well, my last 6 months have been very busy looking after a newborn baby. So I have not had very much time to stitch. But I can, one project does come to mind that I got to work on a few years back. And it was with an artist from the UK who was showing in Los Angeles. And he had hired me to help him with a project in stitching dinosaurs into everyday scenes of old needlepoints. And the whole show was about dinosaurs. And so I got to do one in particular where I had this wonderful needlepoint that was, he had got it on eBay, and it had a shire horse in, which was plowing a field back, you know, an old English scene. And I turned that shire horse into a triceratops, I think it was, that I had. And so I was just doing canvas shading, and I did it all by eye, and it was a fantastic thing. Apparently it was bought by quite a well-known famous chef. That's what I've been told. But yeah, I didn't get to go to the actual exhibit, which I wish I could have done, but it was a really fun project to work on.
Oh, I love the image of a triceratops plowing a field.
Yeah.
Let's tempt people too. We've talked a little bit about the Fantastic Fiber Fair, but suppose someone listening wants to either make something special for Christmas, or maybe they're thinking in the new year, I want to do something fun online. What's coming up?
Yes. Well, we have lots of wonderful short courses as well. So as I mentioned, we're doing a lot of teaching on Zoom. So we have 3 to 4 hour workshops. We've got a lot of designs. Our Technic Tasters, for instance, these are a great group of small, manageable embroideries in different techniques. So you could work a little crewel work. They're only about 5 by 5 inches big, and you can turn them into a pin cushion, into a pocket for a bag. So these are great gifts. And we run those courses in different techniques. So black work, counted stitches, gold thread, if you want to work in metal thread. And these are short. They're affordable. They're not a lot of time or money to invest in. So they're fun and something you can definitely gift. And then we have other classes where we've got stitching on clothing. We did run just not so long ago a little stump work class making earrings. So these are all wonderful kind of gift ideas. But something else as well, with our teaching, certainly with myself and Lauren, who teach a lot of our in-person classes, and Laura, we give people those ideas to do. You know, you don't need to necessarily frame this piece and put it on the wall. Here are some ideas of what you can do with it, or take this technique and apply it to something else. So we're very much, as I said before, sharing is what we enjoy doing most.
Just the idea that earrings class has got my creative juices going here. Can you imagine all the Christmas designs you could do with that?
Yes, absolutely. You know, get your holly and mistletoe and all sorts of, you know, wonderful gift ideas. And yeah, we have lots of fun with design as well. And we do encourage with our classes that we are providing the materials, we're providing the teaching experience here, but we're also guiding you along to make it your own and be proud of it. So that's rather fun. And that way you can customize things. And I had a student not so long ago who stitched her beautiful piece, and then she had inscribed a poem around it for a family member. So combining things like that is just really wonderful to see.
There's a special gift. I love something that you're doing online. You have a challenge. And I also thought I saw a virtual meetup. Would you tell me about these?
Yes. So we have, I'll talk about the challenges first. So since we opened our doors, we wanted to, this is back when everything was in person, and we had this big opening and we had lots of people come to visit, but we wanted to be able to include the people from a distance who have been great supporters, who do travel in and take classes. And so we set up a challenge, and they have taken off. So every year we have I think we're going down to 2 challenges a year because they're becoming so big to manage. We end up having exhibits from all the work that comes in. So we will set a challenge subject matter and give you some inspiration. And then you have a set amount of time, usually around 4 months, to stitch on this piece. And it can be anything from hand embroidery, weaving, felting, knitting, crochet, anything with a needle. And it might be full on hours and hours of work, or it might be just a very small project that you've only had a couple of hours to work on. We love them all as they come in. They go on display and you can submit the actual piece or just a photograph, and they will all go on display at the school. They then go on to an online gallery as well on our website. And they've just been wonderful, really wonderful to decorate our walls with. And some of those challenge pieces have gone on to other exhibits, and some they're just being adorned by so many. And we have had people travel in who'll fly in just for a day to come and see somebody's work, a friend or a family member's work, and then fly home again. It's really wonderful. Then we also have our online stitch group. And so we have a stitch along. It's supported by volunteers and friends of SNAD who have been with us since the beginning. We started these online Zoom stitch-ins during the pandemic, and we would meet every Wednesday and Saturday, which is still true, between 2 to 4 in the afternoon Pacific time here. And these people coming to the stitch-in are coming from all around the world. We've got England represented. We've had Australia, New Zealand, Italy, you name it. I think we've pretty much had somebody pop in from all over. And so there are regulars who join, and they really welcome in new stitchers. And whether you are working on a project or darning your socks, just come in and enjoy the time with others. You get to know and share so much. It's really wonderful. And we will pop in every now and then. So myself, the other teachers, staff members will pop in, say hello, our board staff members as well. And really, it's a wonderful community to be part of.
How do people get the Zoom link if they'd like to be a part of it?
Again, that is on our website. It's a new link. It's through, I just mentioned Zoom, but it's actually Google Meets now. Do not have that information with me right now. So the link will be on our website under Stitch-ins.
And you'll find that link when you go to sfsnad.org and look under the community tab for Stitch-In.
Now, what about the challenge? I know it's purple rain for right now. It's just coming to an end as you and I record this. Any hints about what the next one's going to be?
I'm afraid I haven't got that information right now, but it will be very fun. We, as a team at the school, we float all these ideas around, and the purple rain has come to an end, and these pieces will be going or will be on display, hopefully by the time it's broadcast. So I have seen many of the pieces that have come in, and they are very varied. There's such imagination that goes into these. But the next one, I think, will be fun for every type of stitcher out there to participate in.
And here's an update. San Francisco School of Needlework and Design has now posted the theme for their next Stitch at Home challenge, On the Bright Side. With the idea of bringing optimism into the new year, participants are challenged to create a piece of original needlework that interprets fun, color, happiness, delight, and brilliance. The deadline for online entries is January 15, 2023, while the deadline to send work in to be received for SF SNAD's Hanging Thread Gallery is January 30th, 2023.
How can people best support you since you're a nonprofit? What do you need?
Well, we need support in many different ways. Through our volunteers, for instance, you can help, whether it be in person or from a distance, with putting certain kits together or helping with projects and events, to helping with researching certain things. We also need help in helping to keep everything running, like our library and our collection, you know, whether it be coming in to help catalog and sort and tidy or cover books. Then, of course, donations are always wonderful, whether it be monetary or otherwise. We have very much been supported by donations through the pandemic to help boost our shop, for instance. We've had some wonderful donations from needlepoint stores that have closed, for instance, and have been supporting us. We have donations of books to the library. So our students really have the world at their fingertips there. And then, yeah, just monetary donations, of course, go into all sorts of programs, especially with our outreach programming so that we're able to get out to the children in libraries and the different groups that we work with.
I'm back on the virtual volunteers. What kind of time commitment do you need from anybody who might be listening from Long Beach or New York or wherever and would like to help?
Yeah, it's really what you're able to give. I mean, we're not going to turn you down because, you know, we thrive off that help. And we have a volunteer coordinator. And so any information, emailing info@sfsnad.org, and you'll be able to be geared towards our volunteer coordinator, Jody, and finding out what's needed at that time. So we do, every now and then when we need a volunteer group, we'll do a call out specifically for certain things. And so, and as we grow and move around, it'd be wonderful to have a volunteer base where we can reach from in different places.
Meanwhile, San Francisco School of Needlework and Design has launched their new website, and it looks amazing.
I just encourage people to just look at the website, give us a, you know, browse over and see if there's something for you there. Very easy to peruse and be inspired by. But we really do cater for all skill levels, absolute beginners. You know, we're all about getting you enjoying the experience of embroidery and wherever you want to take that, whether it be just for fun or very kind of in depth, we have something for everyone.
You mentioned your newborn. What would you really like your child to learn about needlework and working with their hands?
Well, I have 4 children who are under the age of 9, and I have 3 of them stitching. So Ryan, who's 8 currently, he has just had a piece up in the challenge that was out of this world. And I think it's very important for helping to kind of keep them focused, certainly for my middle son. He needs that focus. So when we have a stitching time and he's able just to concentrate on keeping the thread in the needle for one, but just then up and down through the fabric, it's very soothing for him. And I have 2 girls and I would love for them to really kind of enjoy embroidery as well and be able to embellish and decorate and kind of put their own stamp on things as they grow older. I think that's what I was doing when I was growing up. So
I'm getting a mental image of a family of artists with all kinds of cool stuff all through the school and the house.
Yes, well, I'm afraid that's kind of what does happen. My daughter this morning at school drop-off, she was being, you know, lots of comments on her dress she was wearing. Of course it was embroidered. So
nice. Wow. Where would you most like to grow the school in the future? If you could have anything happen in the next 5 years with San Francisco School of Needlework and Design, what would happen for you?
Well, I think my next big dream for the school is to have a museum part attached to it so that we grow the programming. We get these wonderful mentorships that we're going to be launching in January. We have these training programs where we're training up new teachers to help go out and share and spread the word, but also to go back and have that study availability in a museum where we're really kind of telling the story of embroidery throughout the world, you know, and all these things collected. And it's not just hand embroidery, it's hand arts of needlework. So there's just so much that's really important. And I mean, I really believe that the school's just going to grow from strength to strength. And one day I'll be looking back on it. I won't be here, but I'll be looking back on it very proud of where it is. And hopefully it's got a longstanding history ahead of it.
It's exciting to realize the full scope of needle arts because you taught me a lot just researching this. I'd never heard of gold work. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I encourage people to take a look at that, the black work, white work, and a lot of the Asian stuff that you have.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We're very fortunate when Lauren Yeager, other instructor here, has been training in Japanese embroidery. So she's very knowledgeable. We have, you know, experts in all their fields that come and join us, especially through the webinars, which are a massive hit for us right now. And sharing that information and wealth, we're learning things that are new. We don't know it all. So we're learning so much in meeting these people, which is really fantastic. And it just helps to appreciate more what is out there. And, you know, embroidery is everywhere. It really is. And it's so important to keep alive.
Some of the needle artists listening might like to know about the mentorship program you mentioned.
Yes, so the mentorship program is very new for us. We'll be launching this in January. We already have our applicants, the deadline closed for applicants. And so I'm going to be helping in that process of going through and you know, finding out who's right for our program. But it's a training program to help those who want to, maybe it's a career change or they're setting out and they really want to focus on the arts. I kind of wish I knew more about this kind of program when I was looking for university places, because I went into fashion design. It wasn't really what I wanted to do. And I didn't discover the Royal School of Needlework until I was applying for jobs. By that time, my parents had said, you've spent 4 years at university. We've spent a lot of money on you. Off you go and get a job. So, and it's a program to really focus on technique and that training. And there are two pathways. You can go down the pathway of becoming a teacher or an educator, and that of being maybe a business owner, an artist, and just exhibiting work. But we will go through that training predominantly on surface embroidery. So with lots of little projects along the way and kind of catering it to those individual needs as well, so that we really get the each applicant to where they want to be in their career.
What an exciting thing to do. And that's a great point. I've never seen a mentorship in needlework previously myself, only textiles, mm-hmm. manufacturing,
right. yeah.
first, which is not what a lot of needle artists like. Lucy, thank you for your time today.
You're welcome.
You and I have been listening to needlework artist Lucy Barter, co-founder of the San Francisco School of Needlework and Design. Check out their new website at sfsnad.org, where, as Lucy says, with the courses, the online workshops, the Stitch at Home Challenge, and Stitch-Ins, there really is something for everyone. Meanwhile, if you're in the San Francisco area, don't miss San Francisco School of Needlework and Design's inaugural Fantastic Fiber Fair, happening Saturday, December 3rd from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. San Francisco School of Needlework and Design is located at 850 Battery Street near Vallejo. And that concludes this edition of Noella File. Thank you for listening. And may your Christmas season be colorful, well-crafted, and something you'll treasure.